This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Podcasting and Platforms. My name is Chris Spangle. Thank you so much for being here with me today. This conversation was adapted from the We Are Libertarians podcast that I do with Harry Price. You can hear it on the Chris Spangle Show feed. And we talked a lot about copyright. And I think there's a lot of nuggets in here for you when choosing what kind of music you want to use, when you want to use other people's comments and make reaction videos. And there's a lot of helpful advice through this conversation that we had. It was meant for a broader political audience around some discussion, but I think you will find a lot of value in it. So please check it out. Right after these words, you'll hear a little bit from Harry Price and I on copyright and fair use.
The first clip I actually have set up is from a great podcast. I listen to them, like, I listen with their podcast, watch their YouTube channel all the time. It is, it does really cool, amazing, different stuff. I really discovered him doing when this person was doing what they called like virus discussion. So they would set up like a virtual environment and talk like, hey, this is what this virus is. This is what it does. Really cool stuff. I like to do it, but it's like, but it's not my jam. I like watching it versus just sitting there banging my head against the wall.
Okay, so this is a YouTube channel or what that talks about viruses?
This is, yeah, he does that too, but he does all kinds of different other things. This video that we're going to watching is because of a dust up that happened on X or Twitter.
It's Twitter. We're not calling it X. Fuck that. It's not Max. It's HBO Max. We're not doing this bullshit. We're going to call it HBO Max and we're going to call it Twitter, and I don't give a shit. I don't care what you want to call it. I'm tired of Icarus flying too close to the sun. Reality will set in and it's going to stop here. It is a tweet. It is Twitter. And take your damn sign down. It's annoying. I'm not an anti-Elon person like Harry is. I don't have a knee-jerk reaction, but this one annoyed me. And bring back blocking, because there's a lot of people I want to block. I don't want to hear from them.
Sorry, I was waiting for you also to do the Picard speech. The line must be drawn here and now.
No. No, I refuse. I will not call it Max. I will not call it X. Stop it.
So it's a Deer Creek to you?
Yes. It's still the Hoosier Dome to me, damn it.
That's fine. All right. So a dust up on Twitter happened between Mudahar, aka Some Ordinary Gamer, and one of the largest streamers on like out there in the world right now, which is XQC. Does a lot of amazing different streams but a lot of it like gambling and react streams. And the dust up happened, which we'll show. Kick up the video is the reaction to it. So
all right, I'll just set it up. All right, yeah, here we go.
Today's video is about a little controversy.
Yeah, okay, so who's this guy?
This is Mudahar, aka which is YouTube channel with some ordinary gamers, which, you know, like I said, great podcast. Check them out, watch some stuff. We are not going to watch the whole video. I've got some time codes. We're gonna so we'll skip around. I've also lowered the quality down because, you know, I want you to go on his channel, watch it in full HD and amazing. Also, it's lower space on the hard drive too.
Okay.
All right. I'm honest. You know.
Hit play.
All right. A little bit of juicy, debate back and forth.
Oh, I just noticed, like, me uploading it here to the streamer. I can't see I don't have no time.
Oh, no. Do you want to Do we want to pause here and you pull up the YouTube video?
Wait a minute. Oh, okay. Apparently, okay, I can see it now. No, I have to hover over the dot.
See, this is why we wanted to do it with him and I, so we could work out the kinks. You're listening to a pilot, a concept episode.
Yeah, concept behind the scenes. Usually we do this, you know, we do stuff like this without anyone watching, but you know, why do it, you know?
Well, look, not having our shit together and being unprepared is classic Wall, okay?
Right. All right, let's see. This is working. Wait. It's better and easier in VLC, I will say this. So I think I will probably queue them up in like marks in VLC
Take it out of StreamYard and then put it into VLC and then pull up the VLC streamer and just share that window.
I got it. This will work. This is work because I don't, you know, this is working. I don't want to like sit there and try to share it and then we have to probably, I don't know what will happen.
I really want a cheeseburger right now. I don't know why I'm hungry.
Oh, I'm starving. I just did like a 60-minute HIIT Pilates class. And I only showered and sat down at this desk. I was really hoping you would cancel so I could go get a cheeseburger.
Our agreement is where we cannot cancel, no matter how much I wanted to cancel last night. So I could take a Somanex and sleep till 3 in the afternoon. I did not.
That's fine. Maybe, you know, we should start, you know. Well, anyways, I'm going to hit this video so we get going because I want a cheeseburger now. Damn it. Anyways, back to the video.
Claiming tools, then yes, I'm going to talk about it. Anybody that's suing a YouTuber, I will talk about it because these are insane situations to be getting into. Life-changing, life-ruining scenarios in certain cases. So this all kind of stemmed from the fact that one creator, Bub Film, said Lamina spends months researching, scripting, editing a video just for React streamers to re-upload the entire thing and provide zero input. I said, shame garbage like this fills the recommendations tab because...
So yeah, this is what's setting it up. So this tweet. So basically, which we'll go show through the video is that a bunch of YouTube and like the whole YouTube space right now is getting filled up with people doing kind of like what we're doing, like reacting to this different content.
Right.
But it is way they're doing it. Like right now, like yes, I paused it. We shrank the video. We've done the thing, and we aren't watching the whole thing. But like this will show you, like, and we'll get into this dust up that he had with
it's
like
clout.
I said,
it's clout jacking. So a lot of the. You know, the reason that, like, libertarians interviewed other libertarians was so that, you know, Tom Woods could come on their show when he wasn't, never mind, you know, when he was respectable.
When all that was hidden.
Right, and then, you know, you have Tom Woods on so you can clout jack his to raise your, right? So, like, that's part of, like... Joe Rogan has a platform, but there's some podcast in the comedy charts that reviews Joe Rogan podcasts, you know, and they're like number 15 in the charts. And I don't know what value they actually offer to people, but I would never listen to it because they're not offering the initial source. Like Lex Friedman. I don't know who Lex Friedman is, but Lex Friedman is able to get all these famous people. Mm-hmm. I think Dave Rubin's a great example of this. Dave Rubin offers absolutely nothing to anyone. He is an airhead. He is a clout chaser who uses the clout of people that have achieved something to try and make himself, to position himself within a certain space to make money. I have zero respect for that guy, right? And so what a lot of people are doing who... They can't get Mr. Beast on their podcast. They don't have the talent of Mr. Beast. We'll go on and do a reaction video to Mr. Beast to use his algorithm lift and searchability to get eyeballs on their stuff. And it works great, Harry.
Oh, so you say we should be watching the Mr. Beast?
No, I'm just saying, I think it's, you know, I love Bub Film's original point here because... It is really hard to sit down, write a script, shoot that script, edit that script, create the right thumbnail, and to build an audience. It'll take you 10 hours to make a 3-minute little thing that really hits for people. I talked to a major Instagram influencer. She makes videos that are... you know, reach millions of people. She started out small. You know, she spends 3 to 10 hours on a 45-second clip, you know, only for other people to go and click the download tab to steal her shit. And I think that's just classless to me. So, you know, it'd be better if people tried to do what Bub Films is doing, saying here, which is spend those months researching, creating value for people, as opposed to just, you know, trying to fill the recommendation tab using the clout of other people who did the work.
Yep. Yep. 100%. Yep. So, yeah. So now you can actually see, like, oh, so this is what this is going to get into. Oh, yeah. It's going to be fun. I'm hitting play.
Because it does. Now, there are some creators that are totally okay with reactive content, some that aren't. But, of course, the general idea of reactive content, the ones that I've really talked about, is no matter what, if you upload somebody's entire video in full, not only is that incredibly copyright infringing, but because you're stuffing a finite amount of area in the YouTube algorithm and the recommendations engine, you yourself are stifling out other original creators on the platform. Now, I've always maintained that if you are reacting to videos on stream, that's totally okay. I think a lot of people do, especially when you're off on a different platform like Twitch, like Kick, like Nico Nico TV, like Bilibili TV, like TikTok Live. But it's when you take that reaction, or sorry, that whole 2-hour video block, or however long it may be, that contains the entire video you've reacted to, re-upload it to YouTube, title it in the same way, use the same metadata, and then ape on the algorithm, that's where the issue comes out from.
So, yeah, basically saying everything you just said, boom. It's, yeah, in plain English, just try to get people to understand, like, what the heck is going on? Why are they doing this
thing? Yeah, I don't think there should be, like, a law against it or anything like that. But I think a code of ethics will eventually spring up. Like, the written word goes back, you know, what, to the 1500s? And over time, plagiarism became an unethical thing where, you know, you can still be a blatant plagiarist and a total liar and become president. You didn't go to jail for your plagiarism, but you know, back when there was some honor in 1988, your campaign got ended. I'm talking about Joe Biden. Look up his plagiarism scandal. But I think it's a good example, like in colleges, you're not going to go to jail for plagiarism, which if you don't know that word, that's where you blatantly just take a piece of writing. Like, I can't go to Jonah Goldberg's a writer that I like reading. I can't just go copy and paste two paragraphs and say Chris Spangle wrote this. And you really can't even copy and paste. You know, there's limits as to how much you can kind of like highlight, right? And there's no rules against it. You're not going to get banned from Substack. You're not going to get put in jail for it. But people within the community self-police and say, you know, you can't just, like, rip off other people's talents for your own. And it's self-policing. It's ethics, right? And I think that'll develop in the video and podcasting space is you will see, like, a guy like this who has a platform start to say, look, we need to standardize some ethics as to what you can and can't use of other people. Like, we're taking this guy's video right now and trying to add some value to it. And he's saying, that's cool, I'm fine with that, because you're kind of promoting me, but you're not ripping me off, right? So I think the internet age, Harry, part of what I've been thinking a lot about is how new all of this is. Like, I was at the fair yesterday, and you've I assume, been to the state fair, and in one of the barns back in Pioneer Village, they have the cabin from 1822.
Yes.
Right? And they have a new chart where this chart has the seven generations of people that came from the settlers who posted up there in 1821, going back seven generations. And if you really look at those seven generations going back to 1821, life through the 60s didn't really change for those people. They, you know, your main form of entertainment was reading a book, you know, or maybe going to a movie, you know, or a theater show or whatever, right? Like, they're, and I think once you get to the boomer generation, maybe the Gen Xers in that chart, our generation and the previous generation, the acceleration of things has massively, the internet has changed everything.
Correct.
And blown apart the ethics because the world was so much smaller until the 90s. And we're just figuring a lot of things out right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll try to like make this point real quick to get back to video, but like the, I just was recently had a talk with a friend, and he was giving this great story because he was talking to a Mennonite and was talking about, like, you know, like, you could probably use a car. Why are you using this horse? And he just like, well, I just got to get to town. I'm only going into town. I'm not going that far. I take all day that I need to be there. And then the other thing was, it's like, my world is also a lot smaller than your world. So you have to understand, like, the car has made your world incredibly larger. Like, I go through many towns a day just because I just want to go get milk, and I pass three stores because I want milk from this store, not milk from that store that's in my town, just because I want to go there, because there's other things I could pick up from the other store that I want. And the other thing of when people talk about, when the other thing with horses and stuff like that, which world being small, is that you can breed your horse. So the horse that you have, you probably didn't buy it. Probably just been taking care of the descendants of also of the, your great great grandpa's horse, because he bought a horse back then, and you've just been keeping up care of the descendants. So you didn't have to buy your horse. So.
Michael Rose says, "What is almost as bad is people who take other people's content and pass it off as theirs, but in a different language from the creators," which I didn't know was going on.
Yeah, that sounds awful. But probably especially happens in, especially like, because people who speak English, unjust English, don't know that, like, they're watching a content or video of someone from a different language. And vice versa, like, someone could easily, now I'm thinking I may just start jacking the Chris Bangle stuff and just translate it to German and French.
Go for it. Let's see how we do. I mean, sure, the Parisians will hear it and start writing.
Probably.
Next, she decided to clap back and say, "I wonder what triggers people like you so much. Revenue share, audience split, algorithm? I heard this complaint a million times, and most public figures try to attack it from multiple angles." Now, at this moment in time, nobody's bringing up revenue. I'm just really talking about the impressions, right? Based on the finite recommendations algorithm, if I'm trying to watch videos out of like 12 possible blocks after my first YouTube video, and all of a sudden, my 12 recommended videos, like 5 of them are reaction videos because I've watched similar content, and obviously the metadata is being aped, that's a problem. That's what people are talking about, because it stifles out original creators. That's pretty much it. Now, I really responded back after that by saying, "I know you're not the brightest, but I didn't expect you to be this intellectually dishonest." And I pretty much go with the entire statement that I made. I've even said that we've demonized individuals like Jinx back in the day for being a terrible reaction creator. Now, to understand, the reaction history on YouTube has been insane throughout the years. And I'm going to go...
So he goes to different examples like that, but I want you guys to go watch that video, watch his stuff like that. He did research, go like that. It's really cool videos that he does. But like the thing is, like with Jinx back in 2017, is that he would legitimately like would put on like whole videos. So almost like he would put on a, let's just say like a Brian Nichols video, and just watch the video with him really small in the corner, just watch it.
Kind of Mystery Science Theater 3000 it.
Not even that. It's just more like, oh, darn, man, you got that.
That's the worst. Ooh. Okay.
It's just like...
Right, no added value to it, just literally reacting to it, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, which, like, I can understand, like, when people were doing that to, like, big studio trailers, you know, like, I haven't seen the trailer yet, we're going to react to this trailer, which, you know, like, Angry Joe, like, I watched Angry Joe all the time. I love Angry Joe stuff. Ryan Holt hates Angry Joe, I like Angry Joe. Which they would sit there and do that ooh and ah, and then stop and then do the frame breakdown of the whole video. Like, yes, we just watched this trailer, we're going to ooh and ah, and then we're going to keep going with this thing. So it's like, you know, it's an amazing time, but because you want to watch it there, but it usually waits, you know, lets the trailer comes out, let everybody watch it, let it get through that thing, then make something like that. And the other thing is, like, it shows, like, yes, so like the revenue share, this is huge, like, especially right now with ad revenue being basically in the toilet right now for like ads.
it's brutal. Our friend Eric Larson Paradox, excuse me. He does a show for Michigan State sports, basically. And they just, their network just folded underneath them. That happened to us at the Pat Down. Like, it just, hey, next week we're folding. So find a new way to host your show. Ad revenue has completely crumbled. So you've got, that's why we're so blessed and fortunate to have our patrons, is that we don't have to worry about relying on advertising. We get a little ad revenue from obviously the ads that you hear from the Spotify ad network, which basically helps pay our bandwidth bill. But it it has gone down 5 times what it was last year. So what I could usually count on is a pretty decent check that would be 3 to 5 times our streaming our bandwidth costs is now 1 to 1. So it's just that few people are advertising.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And it's hitting everything. That's why, like, if you watch a lot of different streamers, stuff like that, you watch them because they all, you know, you see more of the other, which is like the lower value ad revenue ads people are doing. Like I do one that, because we're not going to do an ad for those, I refuse. Like, Raid Shadow Legend, you see more of that type of like ads you get through. And, but yeah, it's, yeah, Brett, your website, that if you frequent up somebody's website and you like their content, toss them a dollar or something like that in our Patreon, or buy a t-shirt from them.
$1. I lower $1 patrons, but we get 30 cents from that. So
yeah.
$5 is very helpful.
Yeah. Cause Patreon takes a fee on that. And then this week, what is it that was the whole thing with the whole kerfuffle at Patreon, because they were really slow to start paying people this week. I don't know.
Really?
Sorry that. Yeah. Yeah.
I got mine, so I'm okay. But
yeah, I noticed you didn't say anything. I was like, well, maybe it's not, because I saw the news report. Like, well, maybe it's not as big, or you know, they only go after certain people. So
no, the problem is, like, if Patreon folded, and I thought about switching Patreon back when they were banning people. They've been really decent about that, and kind of taking a different tact. But I'd have to get everybody to go re-enter their credit card somewhere else, right. Yeah. And 25% of them may do it, 50%, so we've got that problem at Bob and Tom where I'm on outdated technology because I can't lose half my people. Correct. So it's, yeah, that's one of the problems with the sponsorship model, is if you want to move somewhere else, it's really difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's the other reason why it keeps fluffing like alpha goog of YouTube. You know, people stay on it because it's too hard to move an audience.
Right.
And the people that can and do move the audience, it's like, whether you love or hate Steven Crowder, his audience is able to just move with him everywhere he goes, which that is valuable.
Yeah.
So I can, so like I said, love or hate him, at least his audience is willing to
move. The core of it is have you built a community around your content? One of our big problems was getting banned from Facebook, and it kind of killed off our community. So there's not as much community around the podcast as there was before Facebook killed off our group, which we just kind of lost connections to all of these people. Mm-hmm. And we have got like 300 people in our new Facebook group, but it's not the 2,500, with half of that being active in the group. And so, people always, when in my podcast consulting business, say, well, how do I monetize this? Like, you've got to work really hard to build community and connect with your audience, sometimes on a one-to-one personal level, through events, through groups, through, what you do with Low Key Wall is talk to people and be reliable content. We're going to be here Monday night at 8 p.m. and join in and the conversation, but revenue and monetization happens with basically, you have to be consistent so people can rely on you to become their habit. Mm-hmm. And then second, you have to offer them friendship. Like, that famous meme of people like sitting next to the sign of people laughing, and it's like, this is what it's like to listen to a podcast. Mm-hmm. If people have to feel like they're part of a community. And so if you're a habit and they kind of get some friendship from it, then they'll gladly buy products, buy t-shirts, move with you. And you're never going to do that if you're ripping off other people's content to kind of bring it back, Harry.
Correct. Yeah. 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 You're never going to get that. Yeah. Yeah. You're chasing after ads. So you're just going after big fish or just doing it.
Let me say something to Christy Avery. And I feel real lives help with community. They do. But I stopped the fake lives because you complained constantly. So it's been like a year. So be quiet.
Yay, real.
Y'all stopped. Y'all could bitch so much that I stopped. I cost myself hundreds of views of my content because you and her wouldn't shut up about it.
Look at the power of Loki. Okay, see that key holders.
The power of being annoying.
See the power we have, key holders. That's the.
Is that what you call each other?
Yeah, that's funny. Key holders. Yeah. We're still workshopping that day. Right now, it's the in place name is key holders.
What else does this fella have to say?
All right, so then we're setting up things. So now we're going to show, like, I fast forwarded to some of the bit of markers. So we're going to do, like, for there's like bad actions of examples and licensing, like of people doing like good right in the field. Because like what you did say early on, which the video goes into, is when they talk about where there's a code of ethics. So like other YouTubers, like copywriting striking another YouTuber is very in bad taste, and it's can get you shunned from a lot of different like YouTuber communities. Like, you sent a copyright strike to someone, you know, unless they're blatantly just going after somebody, like blatantly copyrighting you. It's, you know,
yeah. I learned that I have this power at Bob and Tom. So people rip off our content all the time. Mm-hmm. And a comedian, I just kind of bulk, mm-hmm. went through and said, "Hey, take this down." Mm-hmm. And they threatened to remove a couple that I missed an error. They were like, "We're going to remove your channel because of copyright strikes," which I was surprised by. So, mm-hmm. but I could take it back, so it fixed the problem. But mm-hmm. YouTube's kind of getting real serious about ripping off other people's content. And a creator like this guy or us has the power now mm-hmm. to take your channel if you rip us off too much.
Yep.
Action, transformative content. But once you say, "I'm watching a video I like to my people," you have literally admitted that you're not putting a video up for fair use purposes. You're not there to comment on it. You're not necessarily there to report news. You're not there for offering like actual critique commentary. You're literally just showing a video you like to your people. Now, I'm going to just tell you right now, we can argue in a similar way, another comparison. I like the movie Hackers. I want to show it to my audience. Let me upload that review onto YouTube. Oh, shit. Or not review, that reaction to YouTube. Oh, wait, this independent studio called Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer is now suing me. Oh, shit, how could I have avoided this? Now, actually, if you even watched animes like Hunter x Hunter and The Dark Knight, The Dark Knight where Kick staff had to go in and be like, "We just gave you a deal, don't ruin it." Why was that not uploaded to YouTube?
Yeah, so yeah, XQC just got, what is it, like, became one of the highest paid people in sports for beginning the massive deal with Kick was like which is rumored to be around $100 million to stream on Kick. And it was sitting there watching The Dark Knight on their platform, just watching the video, just watching the movie in the little screen. I couldn't imagine having the money of $100 million and what I could do with content with $100 million. I know exactly I wouldn't sit there and watch The Dark Knight.
If I had another $1,000 a month, Harry, mm-hmm. I would have a studio. I would have staff. I would have us making like produced TikToks that would teach the history of libertarianism, the history mm-hmm. of political philosophy. I would have us doing regular content talking about current events and applying libertarian thinking to it. Mm-hmm. Like, if I had $1,000 more a month, I would do that, right? I have $1,200 a month right now, and so I can pay for all of our services and do this amount of content. But if I had $100 million, I would have a studio like MGM creating I mean, why would you just sit there and watch... Like, this is like 13-year-old wants to be a pro YouTuber crap. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yep. Largest streamer.
Crazy.
Yep.
Was it because you didn't want to share that with the YouTube Andes, the frogs? Or, maybe it's because there was a big studio stopping it the entire time. And you realize that you couldn't get away with it and you could have actually faced a lawsuit. XQC's numbers are actually so large that some people, if they were suing him, could consider him a broadcaster at this point, believe it or not. Now, XQC's response to me was, "Damn, I knew you liked using big words so that people would give your takes more importance." Dog, where did I use a big word here, okay? Let's look through my entire thing. Intellectually, that's six syllables. Inherently, four syllables. Dog, I'm sorry. It's basic English, okay? We both went to university. You went for chemistry, if I'm not mistaken. I went for computer sciences. We didn't take real English, but at least we know that it's a language that we use. Come on now, stop it. Little brother used... Reddit is down the hall and to the left. Used a 2017 example where I talk about Jinx. Yeah, we talked about why that was demonized back then. And for the large part, people still demonize it now. I'm sure there are some fervent supporters of this behavior, but then again, they don't have actual evidence, they don't have facts, they don't have a cogent point for this. Also, I talk to most of the YouTubers I take big content pieces from and react to. Maybe send a daily dose of the internet, a call and compare numbers on uploads and react. Actually, that might be a pretty good idea. But talking to most of the YouTubers isn't exactly a good answer. Unless your team is talking to all of them, your team never contacted me for watching any of my videos. Again, I'm not feeling bad about it, but I'm just saying, if you're going to say that you're talking to most, you should try to talk to all.
Yeah, so it's... shows like a lot of the what is it like the bad, you know, the, you know, his basically bad faith response to his to it. But like I said, that's the power of like XQC has, like how many numbers he has. So like I said, not only did he has that $100 million contract with Kick, like it's the fact of how many people actually watch his streams. Like if you get onto his streams on Twitch or Kick, he's got so many people watching him. He's considered a broadcaster, almost a broadcaster at that point, because how many people are watching, yet he's willing to go through and pull, basically reach down, grab someone else's video, and then bring it up there and watch it. And if you said, like, if he's doing it to actually promote and stuff like that, like, actually promote things and help people to, like, basically like pull other channels up into the stream, that would be okay, you know, or... reach out to them like, hey, I would like to do your video and maybe like share some later. Hey, I made this from watching your video. Here's some of the cash for you, helping you out. Maybe that would be okay, but that's really happening. So,
yeah, I don't have anything to add to that, surprisingly.
That's fine. Try to get hoping you did so I could scan.
I think what I ought to do is take XQC's watching of the Dark Knight and then download it and then watch XQC watching The Dark Knight and comment on XQC's commentary. That's, I think, what I'm going to do.
It's okay. I'm gonna start like just downloading like the Brian Nichols show, re-watching the Brian Nichols show, just comment on it and see how long it takes to drive over.
Can you do it with Reinhold?
That's hilarious.
And then Brian can watch Reinhold watching Brian and then comment on Reinhold. That'd be awesome.
We just do a whole circle.
Let's just say they're not on the same side.
It'd be great. We should do it. It'd be a great week. We just start a video. I should start a video from Low Key Wall and just like let it go for the entire podcast of the week as we all just make a copy of a copy of a copy. It should be great. Anyways.
Or, you know, they may sometimes rise. It really is a throw of the coin, so to speak. Now, one could argue nobody would watch this kind of content if it wasn't for a reactive streamer. And this is where we get into situations where, I just have to say it, it doesn't matter what the audience in the situation thinks, okay? Because at the end of the day, uploading somebody's entire video onto your channel is very much against the law, against the legal framework of copyright and fair use. Now, when we look at copyright and fair use in the situation...
Now, granted, like, he's in Canada. He's in America's Attic. Uh-oh. And he is... So he's talking about Canadian's law and the United States law. Yeah, he's up there. That terrible country up north, which, you know, eventually they'll become just a... You know, we'll carve that up.
Look, that we beat them in 1812, and we shouldn't have let them live.
Hey, Manifest Destiny 2.0.
That's okay. Right. Mm-hmm. We left the white people alone. Let's treat them. How about American government treat the Canadians like they treated everybody who wasn't white?
Tell you, this will work out. We'll just start going north, and we on the guise that we're just going to give the land back.
Oh, I stop in Canada. Let's just go over Canada, keep going into Russia. Let's go.
Personally, honestly, like anyways, I don't want to get into that discussion.
All right, let's continue on, yes.
I do have a question before we go. Like, do you also have the ability to pause and watch the video, or is that only my control?
I think it's just you.
Awesome. Okay. That's not awesome. I was hoping like you could like pause, especially if we got to a spot like, hold on, what did you just say and rewind? But you can't control it. That sucks, but it's fine.
I'm going to show you from these.
No, I do have the ability to pause and all that. Yeah, I just figured it out.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
Let's keep going.
Hey, that's good. Like I said, we're testing out bugs here. So now, like, I could put a video up, and if he says something weird and rewind, he doesn't have to ask.
Harry, what do you think of the point that he made?
what the point of what the
All Stanford right, back to, University. Back to the okay, video. So there are four factors.
Okay, maybe you shouldn't have this power.
I have too much power.
All right, let's go. So he's basically going, he's getting ready to go over like the laws of fair use.
Fair use is something that we talk a lot about at Bob and Tom because we use other people's news stories to generate our content. And, you know, I've thought a lot about it here too and looked into it. And people misuse fair use. They just sort of say, well, I'm talking about it and tweaking it with my commentary, so that's fair use. That's not exactly what fair use means, so it's kind of good that he's covering exactly what this is.
Correct. Yeah. It means, so like if I sat here in my room with my beanie on and just looked, read New York Times constantly at people, it's different.
Judges consider the purpose and character of your use, the nature of the copyrighted work, the amount of substantiality, and the effect of the use upon the potential market, all very important. So, for instance, one of them is the transformative character, the factor. Has the material you've taken from the original work been transformed by adding new expression or meaning, new information, aesthetics, insights, and understanding? In a lot of cases, sitting around watching a video and then fucking doing one of these, or, hey boys, I just pinched one off in the old bathroom there. I'll fucking drop some nuclear bombs out if you catch my drift. Oppenheimer that toilet. That's not exactly informative.
Oppenheimer the toilet.
That's funny. But,
yeah, so what this is comes from, so one of the largest political, lefty political streamer, Hassan Anabi, Cenk Uygur's cousin, right? Mm-hmm. The thing he does, he will put up whole videos of someone's content while sit there eating his cheeky nuggies in his mansion, all right?
So this rich because billionaire. Look, Harry, the problem here is communists. You and I both know it. We have the conservatives were right about the educational system. We've created a generation of communists who think that content creators shouldn't get paid and that they should be able to rip off the hard work of other people. And let me tell you, creating content is actually difficult. It's not working in a coal mine difficult. It's not working as a construction crew on a road difficult. But if everybody could be a content creator that got to this guy's level, or I get paid to be me. People pay me to be Chris Spangle. And I get paid well to do that. And it's because I have spent 20 years learning how to, I don't know, create content that other people find interesting, or to bring a unique perspective, or to talk without a lot of ums and stutters and be precise in what I say and to be funny as I do it, right? Like there's a skill set that I have that people pay me for, and to rip off that stuff and just say, you know, well, I don't find you, landlord, to be a legitimate person, so I'm going to kill you and take your property because it belongs to the collective, or I'm going to steal your content because it's a generation of people who saw nothing wrong with Napster. And as much as I didn't like Metallica back in the day, they did have kind of a point, Harry, that you can't just steal people's content because somebody had to pay. You have no idea how much money it actually takes to create a TV show. You have no idea how much money it takes to create a radio show. You think that it just means that people sit down and talk into a microphone, but 50, 60 people work on the radio show that I work for. Each one of them needs health insurance. Each one of them has benefits. Each one of them has life insurance and dental insurance and should be paid a fair wage. And the disparity in entertainment of what the top makes and what the bottom makes, I understand why the writers are striking. But all those people should be paid a fair wage. It does suck when people at the top are making millions of dollars and the people at the bottom are making $30,000 a year, right? But we have a whole generation of people under 40 that think that it's just easy to do all this. And it's not. It takes skill, it takes talent, it takes time, and people should be paid for it. But communism is the problem, Harry.
Yeah. But that's okay. They're also raising a group of kids who sit there and watch them continue to do this. And they're like, I can do this too.
Yeah, like, and I think that's cool. Like, I think the writer strike has like broadened this, so now there's like a whole bunch of people who are working on independent movies, and mm-hmm. it could be a huge boon to the independent movie industry, right? Like mm-hmm. the breakdown, as much as I hate the breakdown of the radio industry, my dream was to do a talk radio show. Like, I don't know that I'd want to go work for one of the five conglomerates that run radio networks. Why would I want to do that when I could do this my own way? And if I'm good enough, then I can build my audience, right? But it turns out I'm marginal at this. So I've built a marginally good audience, Harry, right? You know, it's opened up so many new people to do stuff. And I think that's all cool. But, mm-hmm. you know, we really, I think it's just about being a person of honor. Yep. And that's the problem with communists, Harry. They have no honor. They think everything is theirs.
Well, yeah, yeah. Well, to be fair, nothing was really stolen, you know.
Right. Why should you know, you saw it earlier in the comment. Why should this guy get paid revenue when that guy thinks that he should take the content for the revenue for himself? That guy's a communist. I guarantee it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the other thing with the, I think, I don't want to go, like, because we talked about the residual stuff on Monday on Low Key, was like the idea of, I can understand like the different residuals for like for streaming, but I'm wondering if like once data really comes out, it's like, what if the stream services just cost more to run the things and does this check, or they actually are getting screwed, or no one's really watching it. Who knows?
I pay for bandwidth. So the more people that download the We Are Libertarians podcast or stream it, the mm-hmm. more I have to pay Megaphone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So at Bob and Tom, we stream to different services, and the more people that listen, the more we have to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we run ads on that stuff. I run mm-hmm. ads on the podcast to pay for that bandwidth.
Yes.
And, you know, the goal is to make more profit than have your cost, but there's a cost to it. Mm-hmm. It's not as simple as just, I think, because people can kind of turn on a Twitch stream and can broadcast to Instagram Live, they just sort of think like this stuff is cheap. Mm-hmm. But a reality TV show will have hundreds of people working on what you think, there just must be five people on a camera crew mm-hmm. following a guy on Survivor. Well, no, there's like 300 people in the Philippines on the Survivor set, right? Mm-hmm. Including the talent, including the, right? So
yeah,
none of this stuff is free, you know? And that's, yeah. I think, you know, I was saying, well, I bought this many books, and Tad Western was like, well, why didn't you just steal it off of Napster? I'm like, why would I do that to somebody? So I think when you make your living the way that I make my living, you mm-hmm. you sort of go, you know, look, I'm happy and I'm comfortable. I make lower middle class wage, right? Doing the things that I love. It is not hard. It's everything I love, but like, I could easily just end up selling insurance because the ad market falls through and this thing falls through, and then all of a sudden I have no audience and I'm done, right? Yeah. So it's a much riskier proposition with high up rewards, but people just sort of, I think, because we grew up on Napster, well, why don't you just steal that book? Well, somebody spent the average time to write a book
mm-hmm.
is a book is 10 years of a person's life distilled down into 3 years of writing into a single day where it's published.
Yep.
And what is the 10 years of gathering knowledge and the 3 years of hard work worth, right? Mm-hmm. They're gambling. Caleb is gambling. He's been working nonstop on this book. And when it gets released, that time should be worth something, mm-hmm. right? And it may be worth something to 50 people, or maybe something to 10,000 people or a million people, and hopefully it's more, right?
Yeah.
But I know I'm rambling, but I want to make one more point. You know, it's just sort of changed. Everything's changed through the pandemic, right? Now I'm not going to make this point. I'll move on. It's okay. Not germane. It's interesting, but it's not part of the subject we're discussing. I'll save it for another day.
See, I have to make sure he's hungry, so he wants to end this.
My wife is making like hamburger helper or something downstairs, and I'm dying right now. So let's try to land this plane in 10 minutes, Harry.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I've got like four more videos to go.
No, well, we'll just have to do this video. And then I think what we can do is, you know, maybe that single Saturday, we could do two episodes and then make it a bi-monthly show, maybe.
Yeah. Consider
because we add in Reinhold and other people to comment in here. It's going to add an hour per person.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Probably. Yeah. One of the YouTubers I watch, yeah, they get up to what, 12 to, they did a 20 hour stream for a,
no,
trying to go through a video, which when I showed it to Ryan Hall, he's like, yes, let's do that. And I'm like, no, I will go to sleep.
What are you doing?
I will go to sleep.
Come on, baby. What are you doing?
Middle of your rant. No, but this is what the end, like, I've got, there's like a little bit more on here where they just more of a talk about more fair use and give some great examples. But I really did want to touch on that Hassan Nabi one, because like I said, he is one of the largest lefty streamers on Twitch, and he will constantly do that. We'll put your video on and comment about it. And I'm not talking about like studios, just like if he wanted to say like, well, this is where Chris is wrong, he will get up, let your video keep playing where you're sitting there doing all this work describing about Indian history, will go let his audience watch it on his stream, get the money in the chats for a bit, and then come back to start commenting on it. And
yeah,
it seems it's acceptable, and Twitch won't do anything about this, you know, because you have to know he's doing this to sit there like, so Yeah. It's almost like, I don't know, maybe it's a business I should probably like get producer Paul to do, like just watch his stream and send information to people so they can't copyright strike it.
It's just impossible. Like, you know, managing the digital brand for a Heritage 40-year Hall of Fame radio show with a hundred affiliates, like, you know, with 60 albums worth of material. Mm-hmm. I could have somebody all day sit on YouTube and taking down the stuff that we are entitled to earn revenue on,
right,
that other people steal and upload to YouTube. But what's the cost benefit of that, right? Like taking somebody else's material down, isn't it kind of better to maybe leave some of that so fans can have access to that material that you're not going to have time to post as a staff of four in the digital department? Like,
right,
you know, what's the egregious stuff, right, that you want to take down? I don't know, like and these services are so overwhelmed with reports that they can't functionally, the algorithms don't effectively police it, AI can't do it well, people can't do it well, the turnover in compliance departments is huge because people are watching torture videos when you, you know, they're watching child horrific things going on with children, like, so people who work at Facebook's reporting department, like, are traumatized and need PTSD counseling. So, literally. So I don't know. It's gotten better, but you as a creator always kind of have to determine, do we want to take this down? Yes, this is egregious. No, let's leave this because it can be helpful in marketing us. It's,
correct.
I don't know. There's no like rule book on it. It's just your gut feeling.
Yeah. Or you comment underneath the video, hey, thank you for enjoying my work. Can you at least credit my video?
Yeah, exactly. And people are happy to do that when you ask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the other thing, like which I think Facebook does, not Facebook, YouTube dulls out, but very sparingly to only certain big networks, is the ability to leave the video up, but you get to claim the ad money on it, the ad revenue from it, which, you know, they only give that to the big name players, which also forces small people to want to join up the big networks.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a great thing. So, like, we live stream the radio show and somebody, you know, Tom plays Smoke on the Water, we don't get our video taken down, we can just send that revenue to the creator, or we can mute it or edit it out, you know? So, I think YouTube and the music industry have kind of reached a point where they realize this isn't going to change. And so, how can we create tools that enhance everybody's experience while kind of being fair?
I never thought about like the compliance nightmare of your show, especially with the guy just sitting there.
Oh,
like,
God.
I'm a radio show. I can play music all I want. I'm like,
yeah. Well, we have, you know, we have licenses for on air.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no licenses for podcasting, right? So you got to edit that stuff out of a podcast because the copyright law in a podcast, if I started playing music right now, the last judgment was that it is considered Napster. So if I were to play copyrighted music in this podcast right now, YouTube has a way to deal with it, which we just talked about. But in podcasting, it's been ruled by a judge that it's an illegal music download. So that's why you can't use copywritten music in podcasting. Mm-hmm. And they're working on that licensing situation in the future where you I could go and sign up to blanket cover the We Are Libertarians Network podcast so we could play copywritten music, right?
Oh, that's going to be expensive.
But I pay $30 a month. One of my costs is $30 a month to a service called podcastmusic.com to allow me to play.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
That bed underneath it, this part. So I have to pay $30 a month to be allowed to use that bed music. You know, I paid for this thing.
All right, let's get back to some boring subjects.
Right, that was created. I paid $150 for that created intro, and I don't ever have to pay them another dime for that intro. But to use the... That's royalty free. I don't have to pay them every time I play it. I have to pay them a monthly fee for a blanket license to use that. Right. So that's just another one of those hidden costs of like running a podcast is that you've got that stuff in there. But yeah, I mean, there's if you get caught, right? If you get caught playing Led Zeppelin by somebody, they have to police that, right? I can play Led Zeppelin in this podcast all I want. But you've got to catch me to find me. But if you find me, it can be life-ruiningly expensive for creating an illegal download in this podcast.
Yeah. Hey, but those licensing agents, those people that own the licenses to the music, they pay people to go through and like find these things.
Yeah.
Like Adobe does. Adobe does this. They hunt. Like I tell people every time, it's like, why buy the pro when I just get the student edition? I'm like, Adobe pays people to hunt you that down. There's little watermarks in it, and they find out. Mm-hmm. They will come after you. Just pay them the money.
So if you, I don't know how they do it, but if you, Apple has a podcast promotional thing. So you can go to this website and download a promo image for your podcast or your episode. And if you share that image on social media, you get credit in your podcast rankings. And I don't know if there's some sort of metadata in that, how they track that. You know, because I'm thinking if I just download it to my computer and upload it to social media, you've rewritten kind of some of the metadata, but they figured it out, right? And it's like you said, there are people who are hired in cities to go around to various restaurants, barbershops, stores to walk in and listen to the music that is playing in the background and then ask to see the license for that music.
Yep.
And ASCAP and BMI hires people to go and bust small business owners for illegally playing music that they didn't pay a license for.
Yep.
And that's another little hidden cost that every business owner has to pay to SiriusXM or to, you know, all different services that run this stuff. Pandora has a service. But yeah, like you said, they're compliance officers all around just trying to be cops.
Yep. They do it to gyms and stuff like that. Like, especially like your local small town gym, you know, like they put, like, if you wonder, like, why does the music suck at your gym? That's why. They don't have to pay the little thing. What is it? I forget what the sticker they have to put on the window is, but yeah, there's like a, for some of their, like, the proof that they have the license. It's on, like, it also happens to karaoke too, like, when you do like karaoke bars, stuff like that, but yeah. Yeah, but yeah, that was the video. I was gonna go to a second one.
No, we'll have to save it. You know, maybe next time we get together, we play in two episodes, and then we can or maybe we just stick at one episode a month and not get greedy. But
I don't know. Yeah. The next video, like, it's also be good because this one is like it's hot. It's really one I really like. Like a lot of people are watching it right now because of what happened in the thing. So it won't even be quick. Like if you, next week, next month, you'll like it.
All right, cool. Yeah. All right, Harry, good video, good discussion. Thanks so much. Love you. Appreciate you. Appreciate all of you listening to We Are Libertarians and simulcasted on the Chris Spangle Show. We thank you so much. And if you liked it, share it. Don't rip it off. Actually share it from the service that you're watching on. All right, thanks so much. We appreciate you, and we'll see you again here on We Are Libertarians.